of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the National Garden Association e-newsletter, HGTV's Garden e-newsletter, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and maybe from Linda Tilgner's Tips for the Lazy Gardener. We'll start with 1001 Hints and Tips from the Reader's Digest. These are things that you might want to do in your garden in February. For trees and shrubs, apply Norman oil spray to camellias and evergreen hollies to eradicate scale insects and kill overwintering insect eggs. Prune shrubs like beautyberry, butterfly bush, and smoke bush to the ground to encourage summer flowers. Gather up camellia flowers as they fall to prevent pests from overwintering in them. Prune all fruit trees, evergreen shrubs, and other small trees. For your annuals, plant out started plants of hardier annuals. Prepare beds by adding organic matter, lime, and fertilizer as needed. And direct seed marigolds and zinnias toward the end of the month. For perennials and bulbs, order new plants and plant them as soon as they arrive, especially lily bulbs. Divide and replant overgrown perennials. Prepare the soil for planting by adding organic matter, lime, and high phosphate fertilizer as needed. And look for early crocus species to bloom. And for your roses, plant all kinds of new roses. Test the soil pH. Water deeply in dry weather and apply a complete slow-release fertilizer at the end of the month. And prune back roses when emerging shoots are 1 inch long. Prune ever-blooming climbers lightly, leaving the main canes alone. Remove any winter-killed wood. And vegetables and herbs, locate a good source of organic mulch. Save newspapers to put underneath. And destroy any overwintering pests such as the leaf-footed bug. Plant potatoes around the first of the month. Begin planting warm-season crops like beans, corn, melons, and squash. And set out peppers and eggplants. For tomatoes, set out tomato plants in areas of high rainfall, more than 30 inches per year. Use raised beds. Keep transplants growing vigorously with weekly applications of a soluble fertilizer and regular watering. Wrap row covers around cages for wind and pest protection and to raise the temperatures a few degrees. And now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Bring your garden indoors with houseplants. When winter winds blow and the outdoor landscape no longer beckons, gardeners' thoughts turn to visions of amaryllis, poinsettia, and other tropical plants. Fill your home with color, scent, and beauty by creating an indoor garden oasis. Dracaenas, Norfolk Island pines, dwarf citrus trees, and ivies are just a few of the many plants that thrive indoors. Whether growing gardenias or cultivating Christmas cacti, there are some basic rules of thumb for caring for houseplants. Most houseplants require evenly moist but not wet soil. Saturate the soil with tepid water, preferably in the morning. This allows inadvertently moistened foliage to dry quickly and helps prevent leaf diseases. Then, wait to order water again until the soil is dry to the touch. Some types of plants, such as cacti, as well as plants growing in low light levels, may require watering just once a month. The most common reason indoor plants fail to thrive is excessive watering rather than neglect. Indoor plants vary in light requirements. Some thrive in low light. Others require a sunny window or the equivalent in artificial full-spectrum grow lights. Plant labels should provide this information, or you can research the plant's light needs. Without adequate light, plants will become leggy and pale. Indoor temperatures of 55 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit are usually adequate for most houseplants, though tropical immigrants such as holiday cactus and gardenia need cooler temperatures, 60 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit, to set bad buds. Avoid placing plants near drafty doors, uninsulated windows, and heat sources. If you transport houseplants in cold weather, be sure to warm up the car first. Wrap the plants in plastic bags and get them into the car as quickly as possible. Even brief exposure to freezing temperatures can damage some tropical plants. The best fertilizer for most flowering houseplants is a time-released one that supplies nutrients to the plant every time you water. Complete fertilizers for houseplants work well. Apply twice, monthly in spring and summer. If you use water-soluble fertilizer, mix it according to label directions. A too-concentrated solution can harm plant roots. Once a month, flush the pots for a few minutes until water drains from the holes to remove any built-up fertilizer salt. Many houseplant species are native to tropical rainforests and therefore accustomed to high year-round home humidity. Natural humidity levels in spring, summer, and fall are usually adequate. Plants may require more moisture in winter when indoor air dries out. A humidifier placed near the plants can help, or group the plants on a layer of pebbles in a shallow basin or tray. Add water, making sure the water stays below the bottom of the pots. The closely placed plants and the evaporating water help keep the humidity high. If you move plants outdoors in summer, chances are they'll pick up some insects. Before bringing them indoors, inspect plants carefully. The most common houseplant pests are mealybugs, aphids, spider mites, and scale. These can be controlled with insecticidal soap or horticultural oil. Holiday plants, such as poinsettias and cyclamen, can be challenging to keep alive much past the holidays. You can certainly give it a try, but don't feel bad if the plants begin to decline. And from HGTV's Garden e-newsletter, Can't Kill Flowers for Beginners by Lynn. Half-hardy winter annuals that thrive and sparkle in even the coldest regions include China aster, Godetia, G-O-D-E-T-I-A, lobelia, French marigold, and petunia. Hardy plants include calendula, bachelor's button, flowering stock, sweet pea, swan river daisy, and salvias of all types. Choose hardy winter annuals to grace containers in the coldest zones during late fall's early cold snaps. In mild winter regions, hardy winter annuals march steadily through winter's coldest days with colorful style. Hardy winter annuals include snapdragon, pansy, viola, sweet alyssum, painted tongue, and pinks. For foliage color that even shrugs off early snows, plant dusty mill and flowering cabbage or kale. Many herbs also stand as green sentries through winter cold and snow. These winter herbs include lavender, thyme, feverfew, oregano, and rosemary. It's important to note that even winter annuals survive coldest temperatures best when they are established and have already experienced the gradual cool down of fall's transition to winter. If you purchase winter annuals from a greenhouse where they have been protected from fall's chilly nights, you'll need to harden off these beauties before planting them outdoors, where they'll encounter the nippy experience of frosty nights. A gradual exposure to colder temps is the secret to survival. Always buy the largest winter annuals you can, especially in coldest regions, because plants won't grow much once coldest temperatures settle in. When Jack Frost arrives and you wake to frost-covered annuals, don't worry if plants look wilted or even fried. As the sun rises and air temperatures start to rise, winter annual plants recover. Winter pansies, for instance, can freeze solid for a few hours and recover as warm weather returns. In coldest zones, once true winter arrives and temperatures hover in the teens and below, even most winter annuals won't rise and shine. At that point, consider replacing plants in containers with arrangements of evergreen balls, buried branches, ornamental grass stems, grain seed heads, and pine cones. Add a few architecturally interesting bare branches and white lights, and your winter containers will dazzle through the year's darkest days. And now, from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Immediate gardening goals. Start a cut flower garden for year-long bouquets by Laura Foreman. Love flowers in your home? Grow them yourself. Who doesn't love the smell and look of fresh flowers in the home? A colorful seasonal bouquet can lift your spirits as well. Flowers from the florist or floral delivery service are beautiful, can be expensive, especially if you like to update the bouquet regularly. A cheaper and more fulfilling option is grow them yourself. A successful cut flower garden takes effort and planning, but it's not inherently difficult. Even better news is the start of the new year is the perfect time to get started, so you'll be ready to grow in the spring. So you're laying out gardening goals to improve your growing skills? Add growing a cut flower garden to your list. Finding space. Try and incorporate some of your other normal garden chores while you pick up your space. If you already garden some common variety plants, chances are this is the time you'll also be choosing spots to plant your annuals and vegetables anyway. You don't need a ton of space. You can dedicate a whole section to the cut flowers, or you can choose to grow them in with your vegetables. The latter may be even more beneficial for your vegetables, as flowers attract beneficial insects to your garden. While planning your cut flower garden, include light, water, and soil type. You'll want a sunny spot that has healthy, well-drained soil. You'll also have to decide whether you'd like to grow them from seed, purchase starts, or plant established flowers. For example, established plants may be ideal for the impatient gardener who wants blooms now, or for flowers that are difficult to grow from seed, like lavender. Another thing to consider is a color theme. Take some time to think of some theme or criteria for what flowers will or won't get added. It is editing and attention to detail is what separates an impressive bouquet from a hodgepodge of flowers. Flowers come in a variety of colors, so don't feel obligated to plant the whole rainbow. If pink flowers are your thing, choose flower varieties that come in a range of pink. Another way to add visual interest is selecting plants of different heights and textures, as well as choosing plants that grow annually and perennial. for year-round appeal. Before you plant, be sure to prepare the site well. Whether you're planting a separate cut flower garden or interplanting with veggies, it's a huge time saver to place plastic weed matting down before you plant. And for maintenance, use drip irrigation to ensure your flowers are well watered. Still go outside to survey your garden regularly. Keep a lookout for pests, diseases, and dead or dying flowers or plants. This keeps your garden healthy all year long. Pick the flowers often. In many plants, this encourages more growth so you'll get more flowers. When you cut your flowers, use sharp floral scissors or snippers and cut at an angle. This is less traumatic and will ensure its continued health. Tall plants tend to droop as they get bigger, so stake them to keep them upright. This also improves air circulation and helps them stand out in the garden. Here are some easy flowers to start with. Zinnias are a tried-and-true addition. The flowers come in a variety of shades and colors. Dahlias you can plant as soon as the snow melts and enjoy in summer and fall. They come in a variety of colors and heights, so you can find just the right one for your garden. Sunflowers are an easy-to-grow standout. They grow all summer, and you can choose from a variety. Bells of Ireland are tall plants with greenish flowers that complement other flowers in a variety of shades. Cosmos and Nigella, love in a mist, may appear delicate, but they tend to grow quickly in the garden. Pincushion flower is also easy to grow. They're even more beautiful when the flowers dry. And sweet peas will fill your home with fragrance in the springtime. They grow quickly and flower profusely until the temperatures soar. And now from the Triangle Gardener magazine. Finding Joy in the Garden by Lise Jenkins. Japanese tidying expert Marie Kondo has Americans searching their attics for joy. Through her new Netflix show, books, online platform, and army of consultants applying her KonMari method, she encourages us to find joy in our possessions or thank our unused objects for their service and let them go. Her well-timed message has swept through our house and carried me out to my workbench. My garden tools and materials provide hours of tidying up joy. While I'm diligent about cleaning my tools after use, cold winter days are the perfect time to sharpen blades, tighten connections, and sand and oil handles. While my power tool-owning friends are busy servicing their machines, I'm at the get-a-guy stage of life. I get a guy with the power tools and stand back to marvel. I've counted backward from mid-April, our last average frost date, and have begun to plan my seed-starting efforts for the coming season. In deciding what to keep, I am sorting through my collection of partially used commercial seed packets and seeds I have saved. Garden Wisdom says properly stored seeds should be viable for 2 to 3 seasons, but there are plenty of stories of seeds germinating after decades. A germination test is the best way to sort the candidates. Fold a few seeds into a wet paper towel and seal it in a plastic bag. Leave it in a warm spot and check back after a couple of days. Seeds that have begun to sprout can be joyfully kept, while the rest are thanked for their service and released to the compost pile. Winter's freeze-thaw cycles cause my mulch beds to heave, leaving the surface cracked and uneven. In some places, the top layer of the mulch has dried and formed a hard crust, preventing water from seeping into the beds. On warm afternoons, I'm out gently breaking up the surface of my planting beds and leveling stepping stones disrupted by the freezing weather. I must, however, fight the impulse to tidy up my garden beds. The fallen leaves, dried stems, and small branches collected around the base of many plants provide cover for the wee creatures and insects inhabiting my garden. Tidying up now destroys their homes and much-needed cover for the cold weather that is still to come. KonMari is a useful exercise for spring cleaning my indoor and material world. As for the living world I tend, Mother Nature is my guide, and I just need to be still a while longer and listen to what she has to say. And now here are some events that will be coming up. Lights of Magnolia through March the 15th. See America's oldest garden in a new light with 9 acres of amazing lanterns, 23 themed displays, food trucks, and fun for the whole family at the Magnolia Plantation in Charleston. And Gardening in the South, February the 1st, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. New gardeners and those that recently moved to the Triangle are invited to participate in a new symposium at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum that's designed just for them, and it's free. So, but you do need to pre-register. This happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum, located at NC State University in Raleigh. For more information, call 919-515-3132. Again, 919-515-3132. And a family garden walk, February the 1st, 9 a.m. to 9:45 a.m. Bring the whole family to explore the garden and discover new places in Duke Gardens for adults and children together, all ages, and it's free, but pre-registration is suggested. Meet at the Gothic Gates at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And a grafting workshop and scion exchange, February the 1st, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The workshop includes a grafting demonstration that will show you how to graft and what plant combinations will be successful. Supplies for grafting will be provided, and this is free. This happens at Seeds in Durham. And the history of gardening, how cultures, events, and people made gardening what it is today. That happens February the 3rd through March the 23rd on Mondays, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. This 8-week course will provide a series of historical snapshots that help to enhance our understanding of modern-day gardening with Bryce Lane. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This is at J.C. Rostrum Arboretum at NC State University in Raleigh. Call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132 for more information. And Carolina Beauties, Outside Your Door and Beyond, February the 5th at 10:30 a.m. Discover North Carolina wildflowers in the Piedmont, hosted by the Raleigh Garden Club. There is a fee. This happens at the NC State University Club in Raleigh. So go to the site raleigh-garden-club.org. And Growing Vegetables from Seed, February the 5th, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., or February the 6th, 9:30 to 12 noon. Join Matt Jones, Extension Horticulture Agent, for a hands-on workshop for home and community gardeners on planting and establishing vegetables from seed. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This is at the Chatham County Agriculture and Conference Center in Pittsburgh. And landscape plants for North Carolina gardens, evergreen trees, February the 5th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. This class with Katie Rose Levin, arborist and executive director of Trees Durham, is offered as three sessions to introduce you to a select group of plants, including identification skills, design use, and plant requirements. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. And now, Tips for the Lazy Gardener by Linda Tilgner. For the best vegetable garden, the ideal site a vegetable garden needs: day-long sun, at least 8 hours, good drainage, a slight slope to the south is ideal, protection from cold wind, keep it away from trees, their roots will steal nutrients from the garden, and as near to the kitchen as practicable. You'll take better care of a garden that is close to the house. You won't have to walk as far to and from the garden, so you'll spend more time there, gather crops more conveniently, and be on the lookout for garden problems and pests. Try a salad garden, perhaps a small raised bed just outside the kitchen door. Plant ruby and green loose-leaf lettuce, romaine, two pepper plants, two pixie tomato plants, herbs such as basil, sweet and opal, chives, parsley, curly and Italian, and a few marigolds. Put a couple of stepping stones in the center. Often used herbs are just a sniff away, and the palette of greens and varied textures makes a garden as eye-pleasing as any purely ornamental planting. A simple layout. To get maximum sun, plant tallest crops on the north side of the garden so they do not shade shorter ones, or make rows run north and south. Lazy gardeners locate frequently harvested crops closest to the house to avoid compacting the soil by walking through the garden excessively. Plant vegetable families together in order to aid planning the rotation of crops in subsequent years. Legumes: peas, beans, limas, brassicas, cabbage, kale, broccoli, collards, cauliflowers, kohlrabi, Brussels sprout, cucurbits, cucumber, melons, squash, nightshade family. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have comment or questions, call 919-832-5138.